What if everything you have deemed as impossible really was possible? What have you known and believed was possible your whole life? You just didn't know how to actualize it. Come and discover a world of infinite possibilities on Outside the Impossible with Venus Castleberg. On this show, we will share pragmatic tools to create the life and living you truly desire. And now, your host, Venus Castleberg.
Hello and welcome. I am so happy to have an encore of Sarah Grandinetti. Welcome back, Sarah.
Thank you for having me.
I love that there's just like this, all this popcorn going on. It's like this over here and this over here. I love talking to you because there's so many possibilities and so much going on in the world. And today we are talking about being you in this crazy world.
Quite the topic, I would say.
Yes, totally.
I mean, get your popcorn perfect. Out for this one.
So, why don't we just start with, what do you have for our listeners today? Like, what is being you? What does that mean?
The easiest way to describe that, because I used to ask the same question, is really, how much of what you choose daily, what you wake up and create as your life, is based on what you would truly like to have, and how much of it is based on the projections and expectations of this reality and what you are supposed to be in order to be successful, what you are supposed to be in order to be adored, what you're supposed to be in order to be judged as right, and how much of it is your true awareness of a possible future for you showing up. And looking at that, if you're on the side of, I've created a whole life based on what I thought I was supposed to be doing, then you might not be being you.
Well, hang on a second though, because aren't we supposed to like get married, have 2.5 kids, a white picket fence and a house and the job forever?
Like, yes, that's what you were supposed to do.
I can't tell you how much that makes me want to throw up, but I won't go there. So for you, let's talk. Just how did you discover, like, for you, like, how did you start to discover even, like, what is being me?
Well, I started to feel that proverbial glass ceiling in my life. You know, I often talk about in my classes how we create from choice and possibility since we're like when we're little, and it's the way the world grooms us as to what you end up, where you end up, basically. So when you're a little kid, they say, what do you want to be when you grow up? And the sky's the limit. And they encourage you to say, you know, the president of the United States, which has its own energy now. I want to be a doctor or a teacher or a nurse or whatever that is, right? And then you go through life and you're like, okay, that's what I want to be. That's what I want to be. And at some point in high school, you're like, oh, maybe that's not what I want to be. Maybe I want to be this other thing. And then you decide what college to go to for that other thing. And then you graduate and you decide who you know, what job you're going to take towards that degree you got, whether it was for that other thing or for something you decided throughout college. And then you find somebody to marry, and then you decide where you're going to live, and then you decide to have kids. And so you're creating from awareness of what your choices create, whether they are for other people or for you. And then you end up at some point, a lot of the times I find it being like 30s-ish, you look around and you're like, what else can I create? Like, I've got my job, I've got my family, I've got all the things this reality wanted me to have, and what else is there? And that's where I was. I had hit all those milestones that my family wanted or this reality wanted or that I had projected that I had to be. And I woke up and I was like, it's not enough. I always knew that I was, you know, destined for more and whatever that means. And I just wasn't completely fulfilled, but not from a place of, I didn't have a beautiful family and I hadn't achieved a lot. It was just, what else is out there? And so that's kind of started me on my journey.
Mm. Cool. And so maybe share for you personally, what were some of your tells? Like, how did you know, okay, I am being me right now. This is a choice for me right now.
Like after using the tools or just when I could tell people, clarify for me, my friend.
Oh, just Yeah, just wondering, like, when you started to like, oh, okay, I'm gonna practice as being me. I'm gonna start choosing being me. And how did you know you were actually being
Great. Okay. Thank you.
you?
Well, okay. So when I don't know that I would have ever been able to just wake up and say, okay, I'm going to start being me today if I didn't have the tools of access consciousness, because I had no clue what being me meant. I had a projection of what I wanted being me to be, but that was still built a lot on what everybody else thought I should be and what I should be choosing. So when I started to look at what that was for me, I started to use the tools of access consciousness, and some of the tools are so simple. It's really asking a question is one of the tools, being willing to not buy everything you see and everything you hear about you or about the world as real and true, and being more in question rather than looking for an answer. So as I started to be in the tools, and what I realized is that when I'm truly being me, I'm firing on all cylinders, and it doesn't matter who's throwing tomatoes from the front row. It's like the tomatoes don't even exist. And in that analogy, you know, it's like a comedian up and there's people throwing, you know, food at him. It doesn't even matter. I can receive it. I can catch the tomatoes and throw them behind me and say, I don't really care, because that was no longer where I created my life from. It was just an awareness that when I was having me, the judgments, the projections, the expectations, the separations, the rejections that are this reality had way more of a, or way less, I'm sorry, of a determining factor in how I felt about me and what I could choose next.
Cool. So maybe some way, what are some ways that you started to use your difference, your uniqueness to your advantage?
Oh, well, the first thing is to acknowledge exactly what you said, that I am unique and we are all unique. And so to use it to my advantage, I started to go, okay, cool. One of the ways was I'm a hairstylist and have been lucky enough to work on a number of celebrities. And I would see how everybody around, when like a celebrity would walk into an event to get their hair and makeup done, I won't say everybody, but a lot of people would like morph into this thing. Like, I mean, like hairstylists, makeup artists would become something they weren't 5 minutes ago and put on this like beingness of like what the expectation was. And I remember being kind of going through my journey at the time and being at one of these events and having a well-known celebrity kind of come over and sit in my chair and perceive the energy of where I was going to shrink into that person's world and become a bit player in their reality rather than rise up and be me. And so I just went into my toolbox, turned me all the way up. And it was so funny, the energy that changed with that celebrity who was like, oh my gosh, someone's being congruent. Hi. And we ended up having such an amazing conversation between two beings. It didn't matter who I was in the world and who that person was in the world. It was just two beings having a good time, being congruent, being who we were, and not with any amount of like proving. And so that experience in that light started to show me, where am I doing that with like people in my family, people that I, you know, meet in classes, people I meet around the world, where I turn myself down based on their reality rather than turning myself up and having my reality.
So I know a lot of people have this belief that if you have to shrink yourself down so that we're in the kingdom of we, like that's oneness. Can you speak to a little bit to like how do you be you and the kingdom of we?
Well, the kingdom of we includes you is the very first thing. So many people,
What?
I know it's crazy. So many people have believed this like selflessness is how to create change, but you literally take out. Imagine a whole world who's like projecting kindness but never including themselves in the kindness. So there's always somebody left out of the equation, which doesn't actually include oneness. So we have to be willing to include ourselves. And when you're looking at that, and Kingdom of We is a concept that, you know, isn't necessarily totally well known throughout the world. But if you're looking at oneness, people get that. Kingdom of We is really being willing to have your own back, choose the reality that you would like to create from, being the drop in the ocean while simultaneously also being the ocean, and looking at everything from what will this create as the future I would desire? And how can I include everybody in this choice? And it doesn't mean make everybody happy. It's not avoiding something based on somebody's point of view, but including it. I don't know if that really, I wonder if we could give an example that's a little bit.
Well, sure. I'd actually love to address world events. I'm sure this is going to go over well.
Yay!
This is me being me, by the way. So, all right. So let's just even say, like, hypothetically right now, there's a COVID-19. We'll just go with that one, right? And they're now talking about doing, like, this global vaccination. Like, mm-hmm. everybody has to get this vaccination, right? Mm-hmm. So how do we honor ourselves, if that's not something that we want to choose, and yet have this, like, global vote out there that this is something that we should do, that we almost have to do?
Yeah, I would say that it's the resistance and the reaction, where we want to make right and wrong the way in which we create together. So if I am choosing anything based on making someone else wrong to make myself right, then mm-hmm. I'm not including me. And so, I mean, vaccination's one story, and I think that one that might be a little bit easier to, like, deduce from is, I have friends who actively quarantined and actively wore their masks, and I have friends who didn't. I have people who cut out all travel, and I have friends who traveled, myself being one of them. And I had one of my best friends come over for my birthday, where I had a handful of friends in my house who weren't masked. She wore her mask, and we gave distance hugs, and she stayed 6 feet from everybody, but she included me in my choices and came to my home to celebrate me for my birthday, kept her distance, and no one felt judged, and she didn't feel judged. So we included her in the party. She could choose whatever she needed to choose to be there and be included. She wasn't cast out because she's so silly wearing her mask, and she wasn't telling us how ridiculous we are for not wearing ours. We could all be there communing, and that really made a huge impact, because this has also been a line of separation and for people, like, tiptoeing around, like, where someone else is, and then still having what you'd like to choose as your reality. And a lot of, like, my friends that were there that saw this go on, and after my friend left, my friends who weren't mask wearing were like, wow, that was really, really cool to see that play out right in front of us, where everybody was included and nobody had to choose outside of what worked for them.
That's beautifully put. Yeah. And you said something really key there. It's like, there was no judgment.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. And that's ultimately even what we're running into with the other stuff going on in the world right now, is this, like, that everybody's projecting their right and wrong points of view on each other and trying to get people to see their points of view instead of having allowance for whatever their choices are.
Allowance is such a great place to go. I was kind of hoping you were going to sprinkle that word in, and there you did, psychic being. Because really, it's like, people who have been fighting for one thing or the other for a very long time only know how to ever possibly, maybe even kind of, sort of, a little bit win by keeping up the fight. Because the fear is, with vulnerability, when you look at what vulnerability is that I'm going to put down my sword, and that means that will give you way more power. And then I will be, you know, more behind in the race than I ever was, right? So, or I will be more behind in the fight, or I will then be the sacrificial lamb. If I put down my sword and you don't choose to, then I am at risk. So, like, that's why people don't choose vulnerability with anything, not just what's up in the world right now. It's like, hey, I've got to keep fighting, because somewhere at the end of this, someone's going to be right and someone's going to be wrong. And they can't even see past a right and wrong conversation. It's, in order to change this, we have to make sure everybody knows how wrong this is. And when you say that, especially as somebody with white skin, you sound like the biggest jackass. I'm sorry. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that here, on the planet. And I get it. I get it. But it's really having the conversation beyond what's going on to invite everybody to a new possibility where we can create from that allowance of even our friends who want to be in the right and wrong are included. They're included because they don't have the other tools to look at from a different place, and they're doing what they know to do to create change. And all we're talking about is this other possibility. I read something the other day that was basically you can't change a problem from the same level of consciousness that created it. So we have to choose something beyond this right and wrong, good and bad, because that in itself is the polarity. That in itself is there's one side against the other. That in itself is the separation that we're all here to want to change. I don't say all. There are some assholes in the world, 100%. I know a few of them myself, right? But if the majority is wanting this to change, we have to get out of what keeps us separate. And a lot of times those are our points of view.
Wow. Well, could you talk a little bit more about the points of view? And maybe if somebody says, okay, I can see that my point of view is creating this, I don't really know how to change it.
Sure. There's a tool in Access Consciousness called Interesting Point of View. And what I started to get for myself, you get it when you get it more recently, is the interesting part. So how often do we go, well, I might be in a point of view. But if you call it an interesting point of view, mm-hmm. I might be more interested to stand from your point of view. So your point of view is where you stand in the world and look at this thing from your background, from your upbringing, from your experiences, from the things that have been said to you and the things haven't been said to you, from the opportunities you've had or you haven't had, all of that makes up your point of view. And when you add interesting to it, it actually invites me to walk around and look from that other person's point of view because it's interesting. And if it's only interesting, it's not right or wrong. When I'm standing there looking from where they're looking, I might be able to see something interesting as well that would contribute to what my point of view is and having it change to create greater. And again, point of view, you guys. So like if you're standing on a mountaintop watching the sunset and your friend is standing behind a tree trying to watch the same sunset, you're going to invite him to change his point of view so he can see the beauty that you see. But from his point of view, all he sees is that tree in front of him and he's not experiencing the sunset. But you've got to be willing to understand that that tree means something to him. Okay, cool. If you went and stood next to him, what would you see about the tree? And what would you see he could choose? And what could you invite him to? And what could he come over to you to where you're at and see what beauty you're looking at? If none of it was wrong, none of it was right. And it was just interesting point of view. The interesting part is actually where the invitation is.
Wow, that's beautifully said. I had never looked at it that way. Interesting point of view. And all right, so, but, and we do have people who are very fixated on like, okay, but no, this is my point of view. I'm not, and they won't move. They won't, you know, look at something else. And it's like you brought that up, like, in having the allowance of like whatever they're choosing, it's not right or wrong, it's not good or bad, but there's such a fight for what we think is right. How would you recommend maybe people changing that, like giving up the fight?
Well, the thing that I said in the beginning was that vulnerability. It's really, are you there? Okay. It's really, really hard to punch a marshmallow. So if you lower your walls and barriers and be an allowance for somebody to have all of the rightness that they require right now, and as much as you want to keep it so far away from you because it's so disgusting to you, when you lower your walls and barriers and be willing to go, okay, even that person who I just so badly want to reject and, you know, that makes me want to throw up when I think about the way they see the world, if I were willing to even include them, what could change? And, you know, Dane Dr. Dane here of Access Consciousness, started to speak recently about pulling in the things that we've been avoiding closer to us. And I started to look at that with our current president, with here in the U.S., the people who are choosing a division because of race, the people who are murdering people due to the color of their skin, and the disgust that would come up for that. It would be like pulling that in and giving it a hug. And that I would rather not. That is would take so much courage to want to even sit at a table with someone who has that point of view. But the only way that, you know, Dane's been talking that these things can change is if they get close enough to the things that can change them. So if I was the cure for cancer, I said this on a live the other day, if I was the cure for cancer and I wouldn't let cancer get near me, then I could never actually change the cancer. So energetically, if we pull these points of view that are laden with judgment, that are products of their environment, that are products of handing down from generation to generation, if we were willing to pull those in closer and allow our reality and our awareness of possibility to melt them, what could change? And that is happening also. Let me bring the tension. That is happening. If you look for it, you will find. So your point of view creates reality. So if you have your point of view on these things, this is happening. Police officers and protesters are coming together. They're taking these together. They're praying together. They're hugging. It's happening. People are pulling in the opposite side and being the possibility for the future. And we just have to keep focusing on that and choosing it and being it.
Wow. Yeah. And being that invitation. So I'd really love to ask this question, but we're going to take a short break and we'll start the new conversation on the other side. but just thank you very much for that beautiful start, and we'll be right back, folks.
Best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
A social distancing tip.
While the CDC urges you to avoid close contact, like hugging or shaking hands, there are other non-physical ways to say hello. Wave, wink, use sign language, salute, smile, give the peace sign, throw up an air high five, do jazz hands. Remember, stay a minimum of 6 feet or 2 arms length away from others, and stay home if you can. For more info, visit coronavirus.gov.
Let's all do our part, because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back. My name is Venus Castleberg, and I'm here with Sarah Grandinetti. We're talking about being you in this crazy world. Perfect. So, Sarah, right before the break, you said something that was, like, really pinged for me. It was, like, being willing to pull in the things that you resist or that you fight or that you try to keep at arm's length, like... and being that energy that could actually change that. Could you speak a little bit more about what being that energy that could change that?
Yeah, so I like to speak in analogies, so I'm going to give you one. I was on a meeting with my team talking about the hundreds of Facebook requests I had to be like the friending, adding in Facebook. And what we looked at was, if we only add people who have a direct link to access consciousness, who already have the tools, what light are we being in the world? Yes, absolutely. You are going to get people who are wanting to spam you or private message you, and it would just be another choice to delete or block if that's the case. But we have to be willing to shine our light in the darkness. And when we keep the things that we want to change in the world at arm's length, we can't actually change them. So, like, for me, this is my interesting point of view, okay? What's gone on in the world against people of color is an abomination. The killing of black men that is absolutely racially driven disgusts me. It disgusts me to my core. And if I keep somebody with these points of view at arm's length all the time, I can never be the change that gets close enough to actually changing it. I can never offer a different point of view. If I'm shouting at them how wrong they are, how much do they have to put walls and barriers up to me and put their fingers in their ears to never have to hear me to prove the rightness of their points of view? But if I am willing to pull that in closer, as uncomfortable as it is, then I get to actually vibrate as the change that's possible in the world. I get to get my cure for the cancer close enough to the cancer so that the cancer doesn't have to be here anymore.
Wow. So when you're, how do I put this one into words? You have me speechless, my dear. which is rare. and I know a little bit, you know, we've been dancing together a little bit here. And one of the things that I've seen you change more recently, we were in SOP together. I don't know if you knew that. But and you got up to the mic and you talked about giving up being right. Mm-hmm. Can you speak to that a little bit? Because I know that that's really going on right now.
The question that day was where I looked at where I was trying to get it right, which is very similar, like being right. But it was like I kept looking at where I would take two steps forward and say, okay, cool. All right, it's okay. So if I'm a little more out of needing to be right or needing to get it right, I'm not so much in the wrongness of me. What comes up next? And what came up next was this rejection piece of not being, like, the fear of not being received. And the rejection piece is actually what I get is also part of this vulnerability conversation and getting close to the things that disgust you. Because if I get close enough to that person and I'm willing to be vulnerable and I'm willing to not judge them, I'm willing to be a space for them, and they reject me, then what I was perceiving was where then my voice would then go away or my change I can be would go away. And what's actually real and true is that their rejection has no bearing on what I can continue to be. And if I'm willing to be that vulnerable, I get vulnerable with me. And with vulnerability, you have your walls and barriers down, and you can not only see more possibilities, but you can also see who's there and wants to walk with you and who wants to go towards the change and the possibility, and who at this point in time, no need to judge them, isn't choosing it. And you just take another step, and you take a step towards those that want to see these changes happen in our world, who are willing to receive me, who are willing to hear my voice and not shut it down because it doesn't come from a certain place. And where I can be a receiving of them and going like, hey, I get it. I don't judge you. I receive you. And I get it. I get why this is your experience and why you feel so passionately about this. And, you know, it's, I'm, to be vulnerable for you right now, with you right now, Venus, in front of whoever's watching, what I would like to say is, for me, that I get it is so much stronger towards my friends of color. And the ones that disgust me and I am not willing to pull in close are the ones that look more like me. And that in itself is a very interesting road, you know, because I'm tiptoeing around it constantly and asking all these questions that we're talking about today. I do not have this figured out. I just have some tools to look at it from a different place and hopefully contribute to people. But man, has each day been an interesting walk for me personally, knowing full well there are people out there that are, you know, on the front lines of all of this. But what I can be is the space of a different possibility, and I can start choosing from a future that doesn't include race as a conversation. That's the future I'd like to live in. I'd like to just be oneness for everybody and see everybody as the gift they be, and see everybody if they're like, be willing to know someone's an asshole and have nothing to do with the color of their skin. And just be.
So that might be really helpful for some of our listeners, because we all get triggered for different reasons. You know, it's like, what are some tools that maybe you use or that you know of that could, interesting point of view, we talked about that, but like, that could help them get to this place of allowance and being willing to be vulnerable.
Well, I think we might have talked about it on the other show, but I'll repeat myself. Knowing that people come from where they come from because they come from there. It's like, you know, with anything, I was raised super like in religious schools, going to church every Sunday. That was the valuable product. And so I'm going to come out of that experience with an amount of like religious beliefs, if you will, and then decide what works for me. There are people who are raised in parts of our country, whether they be places with a ton of racism and biased, and or those that were always fighting the racism and biased, or those that were more liberal and receiving of all people, they are products of their environment, and it takes them to ask a question at some point in their life to go, hey, am I going to be that, or am I going to choose to be me? And what you can look at is not to judge the man or judge the act, but look at the like systemic issues that we can all be a change for, and not the product or the problem, what it ended up creating. Okay, cool. We can't go back and change the things that this country was founded on, unfortunately, but we can go forward and we can start to create from a different place. We can start making choices that don't include racial bias, and we can, you know, be that. And the other thing that I like to point out is not to make, you know, the ones that are out protesting, they made a choice to go protest, but your energy and your receiving and your inclusion and your kingdom of we energy that you walk on the planet with, when you start to be that in the world, that's also just as valuable as somebody who's protesting. I've had a number of people reach out to me asking me, like, I don't know what I can do right now. I don't know what my voice is. I don't know whatever. And I said, hey, have you hugged or smiled at some, if you can't hug because of your quarantine issue stuff, you know, points of view, then like, have you smiled at somebody for no reason today? Mm-hmm. Have you reached out to somebody who might be hurting right now and said, hey, I've got your back? Not from a place of aligning and agreeing, but just saying, hey, I know that, you know, these things are hard for you, and I just want to let you know I adore you and I'm here. Like, have you done those things? Because those things are also the vibrations of a different possibility. And not to make one more valuable than the other, but to see it all as contributing to a greater future.
Yeah, you really spoke to, too. It's like, okay, so what are some things and ways that we can empower each other in this, you know? And what if everyone could actually receive more empowerment, not just the ones that are hurting or that, you know, need a little bit more? But then again, that brings us all back to the kingdom of we. It's like all of us are in this, and I know it's kind of a cliche at the moment, but or a saying, but we're all in this together, right? Cool.
Yeah.
So what would you like, if you could have our listeners really get anything, what would you like them to get?
That being you is way bigger than the body you're in, than any classification you fall under, than any judgment that's in this world, in this reality. Being you is where you start to unlock the places where your magic can show up with more ease. Your ask and receive can show up. Your power to actualize the future that the majority of us really are asking for is when you start to be you and get out of the framework, the box that you bought you belong in. And it's all sides of all of this. It's with each person looking at it and going, wow, am I holding any of this in place with the judgments I have of me, with the unwillingness? Like, so I've talked to some really brilliant people that have some really like cool perspectives on the things going on in our world, everywhere from COVID to this, like, the social injustice conversations right now. And as simple as me saying to them, hey, would you post about that? Or would you do a video about that? Because that would really contribute to more people having that awareness. And their little tiny, tiny, tiny point of view that they don't look good on video, or they're not capable of doing a Facebook Live. That's what I'm talking about, where these little tiny judgments about who you are in the world and who you get to be based on what you judge yourself as or not is what will stop your voice and your awareness of another possibility from getting out there. And I'm not saying that if you have a great awareness, it all has to go on social media. That's not what I'm saying. You can be it in different ways. But where we limit ourselves on what we can choose each day based on judgment rather than looking for the awareness of the greatness of us. And that's where the possibility is to really seek from, to choose from that place.
Well, and thank you for that. And I'm wondering too, is like, cause I know you gave us some great tools and some great ways of going, of even just addressing what's going on right now. It's like, okay, all this stuff's going on. Can we not judge it, be an allowance of it? And what do you see are some ways that we can begin to create a different future?
Oh, that's a good one, sister. Mm-hmm. Can I use an analogy again?
Yes, of course.
Okay, well, it's kind of an analogy, but it's also a real life story. So I'm going to talk about, instead of like the racial issues or the COVID or that stuff, I'm going to refer to my financial situation. Okay. So I used to big time struggle with the money. Now I am not like to be, but I'm creating a different future. But the way that I started to see that show up for me was, I used to have like a limit, like not like I ever wrote it down or it was something I cognitively chose. But when I look back, I had about a $30 spending limit on to buy myself a top. And I would go into stores and I would pick something up. And if it was any amount over $29.99, I would go into a lot of hesitation about the quality, the how long it would last. And that was the financial reality I used to have. $29.99 was how much I would spend on tops, and probably $49.99 was the max I would spend on pants. And then I had other shoe budgets and whatever. But again, not a cognitive, like, solid number. It's just when I look back, I can go, oh, that's about where I would start to limit myself, is about this place. And one day when I noticed that, I'd picked up a top that I totally loved and I wanted to go try it on. My body was saying, yes, 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 let's do this. It's going to look great on you. I looked at that price tag and I said, oh, I don't think I can do this, because it was $50, $20 over my limit. Do I really need it? All of these like, ways to decipher whether it was going to be a valuable purchase. What I chose that day showed me something, because I said, you know what? I'm going to go buy this because I can. I'm going to go buy this because I want to create a future where my $50 top is like not even a question to me, that it's not even a reality that I have to play in, that $50 would be really easy to choose. So I just walked from there, didn't even try it on, walked up to the cashier, checked out, and went home. Now, what happened from that day forward was that I knew I could buy a $50 top. I knew it was now a reality and a possibility that I could choose from. And from that day forward, my reality for what level of pricing my top could be was now the barometer was set at $50. And it was just choosing it once that showed me it was possible to now have as my reality. So when we're looking at creating a different future, we have to be willing to choose from that future. We are told constantly that we have to have everything lined up in the linearity of creating our lives. Everything, all the money has to be there, all the right people have to be there, all the, you know, all of the linearity boxes checked, I's dotted, T's crossed, and then we choose. This was a day that I chose to do something from a different financial reality than I currently had. And with that choice, it got created. With that choice, money started to show up. With that choice, $50 shirts are now a thing of the past. And my number is a lot higher than it ever was before because I knew that it was now possible. So when we're looking at all of this, we can swim around in the problem and do right and wrong and mudsling and you know, say you did this to me and I did that to you and I received this and that and the other thing and who's right, who's wrong, who's good, who's bad, who needs, a timeout in order to go through all of the emotions of all of this, who, like all of these things, or we can just start to create and be what is possible in the future we desire to have show up. And that goes with everything in your life. Start choosing from what you are aware of as a possibility, like I did with that shirt. And you will have, in that moment, in that choice, created that reality. And it's often not easy.
Well, you actually also said this a few minutes ago. You were talking about, like, we all have the power to actualize the future. Can you say a little bit more about that?
Yeah, if we don't make the present what is real and true, that we have to stay here so long and keep up the fight in order to make it right, we have the power to start to be different, choose different, you know, even in our country, like vote different, speak up different. And we can do all that with that awareness. And each of us have that power and potency. And it might look, it will look different for all of us. But if we choose those other elements of allowance of vulnerability, then the future is still unwritten. It's more unwritten now than it ever has been. I mean, look at your life 2 months ago, right? Look at your life last week. Look at your life 3 days ago. You probably didn't predict that this is what it was going to look like. And everything's changing every day. Like putting stuff on a calendar is hilarious at this point to me. Cause I'm like, yeah, sure. Put it on. I don't know if it's going to happen. It's just we were supposed to be on yesterday and then there's some blackout, I don't know. Okay, cool. What do we want to create now? And being in the 10-second increments of choice, is really how we go, okay, cool. If it's true that the future is unwritten, then what are you going to do with that pen in your hand? What choices are you going to make? And how do you want to show up in the world that changes it and writes a different future?
So I know that, thank you. That was amazing. And I know that you're a BU certified facilitator.
I sure am.
So why don't you explain a little bit, what is that?
So Dr. Dean here, who happens to be my big brother, wrote a book called Being You, Changing the World. And the book, it's like its own little futurist in pages, because it's about 11, 12 years now that it was written. And it might even be more. I'm a bad sister. I should know this. Anyway, and so from that book, it was changing, like people buying it all around the world, it being translated into a bunch of languages. And it had such an impact that Dane, you know, and his team, and decided, hey, let's start pulling out some of these tools out of this book and doing classes. And so that's where the Being You Certified Facilitator kind of training program began, was extrapolating main points from this book. And so now there's a bunch of us that go around the world that gets to teach these tools, and these classes have no prereqs, so people could just find Being You online and say, I want more of that, and show up. And I get to be one of them. I'm lucky enough to be one of the Being You Certified Facilitators. It's a gift beyond, I can't even begin to describe it in words, so hopefully you'll pick it up energetically.
Well, and you actually have a class coming up this weekend. Would you talk a little bit about that?
I do. So we have a class coming up called it's the Being You Weekend Adventure. It's a 2.5-day class spread over 4 days, and it's online, and there's no prereqs. And what we called the class, it's funny, it was like weeks ago that we put this on the schedule, that none of what is going on right now was actually going on. And we called it The Future is Calling, Will You Pick Up? Because it was this awareness that everything is, like I said before in our chat, is so malleable, and our choices are such a gift in creating that future. And the awareness was that there are so many people who see their futures so unknown, and we're trained to be afraid of the unknown, that the phone could be ringing, it could be the future calling, and you just look at caller ID and decide you won't pick up. And what if there was something else possible? And these Being You tools can gift you what is possible for you to create as a different future for you and for the planet.
And I'll say something kind of piggybacked on a conversation you and I had, like if anything that Sarah has said today resonates with you, or you really can, it touches you, and there's something about it that you're like, you know what?
There you go.
Yeah. So, if you are somebody who's out there, Sarah and I talked about this last weekend a little bit, and if you're somebody out there and you've heard something that Sarah said, or you say, I want more of that, or I get that Sarah has that, and I would like to have that in my life. If you were just able to even see, recognize that, and say that that's something that you'd like to have in your life, it is something that you already have. Mm-hmm. And that was such a gift when you recognize that, and we talked about that last weekend. It's like there is so much more possible, and you know, I named this radio show Outside the Impossible because I believe that everything is possible, and we can change anything in our lives. And if you're just willing to pick up the phone, the future is calling, right? Are you willing to just maybe look into a class like this? Or we mentioned Access Consciousness. You can find all sorts of facilitators all over the world doing all sorts of magical things. So, and then as my very special gift to my listeners and those that have followed me, this is my last episode today. Thank you so much for now. And what else is possible? But for those of you who are out there listening, who heard a possibility in this show and any show, and you have never read the book Being You, Changing the World, if you send me a message, I will send it to you for free. So that book has changed my life, and changed my family's life, and Sarah's, you know, so mm-hmm. thousands of people's around the world. And it is a tool for anything, any area of your life that you could change. And Sarah, if people would like to learn more about the class that you have this weekend, where can they find that?
They can go to sarahgrandinetti.com. I think it's up there. Otherwise, on Facebook, Sarah Grandinetti CF. Or Sarah Grandinetti, or email you, or email me, beingyouteam@gmail.com. And I wanted to add about the book is that Dane's doing that free, kind of like a book club, not book club, has started today. And if you go to his website, drdanehere.com, you can get more information. It's just scheduled Facebook Lives on his page talking about the different topics in the book. So, yeah, you can experience the book that way, too.
Yep.
And you're so generous. And Venus, before you go, thank you so much for the gift that you be in the world and for inviting me to be a part of your last show. I don't know how I got so lucky, but I'm so grateful that I did.
Well, we still have a couple more minutes, but you're welcome. I'm so thrilled to have you. And you are truly a light in this world. And thank you for pulling me in closer. And being that invitation, I'm actually really excited to try to play with that new tool of pulling things closer that we've been trying to keep at arm's length and fight against, and be that invitation for something greater and some greater change. So that was just beautifully put. So in closing, is there any final thoughts, words that you, if you could have these wonderful listeners get one magical thing out of your billions, what would you, or could be more than one, but what would you like them to get?
I would just like to tell you that you're wrong. You're not wrong. You've never been wrong. One of the tools and access or funny questions we say or statements is, what if you're not as fucked up as you think you are? And what if every wrongness of you was actually a strongness of you? So if you are looking at anything as something that you have to avoid about you, what if that is actually where your magic lives? And if you would lean in just a bit, lean into that thing that you avoid about you, even that thing you've made so wrong that you've hid, so you've taken so much energy to hide from the world and never ever be, what if you being that is what brings in the congruency, which brings in the magic, which brings in the receiving, which brings in you having the most magical life that you've always asked for. So that's one of my favorite things ever. It got me out of and freed me from so much, is what if every wrongness of you was actually a strongness of you?
Well, with that, Sarah, there are no words. I am so incredibly grateful for you. And folks, she does stuff on parenting. She changes people's lives all over the world. I highly recommend finding her somewhere. Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you. Talk to you.
Yep. Take care. And bye, everyone. Thank you for being part of the show.